Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, man, the shape of you. How many of you are glad God has a plan for your life relationally? He really does, man. He really, really does. I hope you're making plans to come and be with Karen and Jimmy Evans and the team they're bringing up for the XO conference. People are signing up for this, and it's a paid event, but I'll tell you what, but I think right now that over 930 people have already registered. That's basically the early registration. If you go on our last year's numbers, this event could possibly sell out. So please, please get your tickets as soon as you can. I want to talk to you today about the shape of you, the way God designed every one of us. But let me pray first, because I know God wants to do something really great in our hearts today. Let's just open our hearts to Him. Heavenly Father, I ask you today by the power of your Holy Spirit to fill this room. You, Jesus, said this, that the Spirit of God, He is the teacher, not me. These words that come from human are to come literally into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak into the lives of people. Rescue broken hearts today. Rescue broken lives. Bring hope where it's disappeared. I pray for your favor, your grace to abound in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of you are ready to receive from God today? Come on. You really have been divinely shaped for relationships. It's how God made you. But here's the reality. Relationships, which may have been the greatest source of your pain and your fear, are actually designed by God to be the greatest place of safety and joy. But your experiences can be so opposite of that, that you will actually reject God's plan for your life relationally, both with Him and with people. Because some of the worst pain you will ever have in your life is relational pain. And nobody wants to stick their hand back in the fire on purpose. And so what I want to help you to do in these 2 weeks is to understand that we can be living in ways that are destructive, that are harming us, and worse yet, teaching our families, our children, to go generationally with some of these issues that can destroy your life. Back in our 21 days of prayer in January, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart this sentence, that with me, the impossible becomes practical. And I saw a quote by Bill Johnson, very similar this week, and I want to read it to you. And I love this quote. He said, "When your mind is renewed by the word of God, the impossible starts to look practical." You see, you must intentionally find out what God says about anything and everything and intentionally renew your mind to the word of God. When you begin to see what God says about something, what has been impossible in your life becomes practical. What you may have experienced even generationally. And for most of us in this room, most of us, the first time we experienced relational pain was when we had no options, probably when we were kids. And you can make some very hard and fast decisions about relationships. Like, man, that's never gonna happen to me. And you end up setting yourself up for pain and isolation. And God wants you to live a higher life than that. Here's the reality. If you don't intentionally learn the truth, you will unintentionally believe a lie. Let me say that again. If you don't intentionally learn the truth, you will unintentionally believe the lie. Jesus said the truth makes you free. Well, a lie imprisons you. Most of what we believe about relationships did not come from the heart of God. It came from experience, and most of it not good. And until you intentionally learn, see, what is truth? Well, my truth, your truth, my dog's truth. No, no, no. Truth is what God says. If God says it, it's true. If God doesn't say it, it isn't true. So I don't believe that. When you die, you will. You will see Him face to face, and you will find out He is truth. He isn't a part of truth or a truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth, the life, the way, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Very, very exclusive. But for a reason, because He's God and I'm not. He's the Creator and I'm not. But you have to intentionally put the truth in your life. That's why we're doing the XO conference with Jimmy and Karen Evans. And you want to intentionally invest. And by the way, if you're single, this is a great conference to come to, because you're going to see that most of us in this room are not called to be single. You say, "Yeah, but listen, I've been through that fire, sweetheart. I ain't doing that again." Well, we'll talk about that. And then also we have what we call freedom groups in our small groups. 13 weeks of getting together, going into God's word to get free from your past. It culminates here on a Friday night and a Saturday morning retreat right here at the church that ends the small group. Thousands of people at Victory have gone through freedom. Pastor John Spencer has led that so well, and I'll tell you what, it will change your life. If you don't know how to get past your past dictates your future, but you have to be intentional. Well, you know, we have marriage mentors here, people that have given their time who will meet with you as a couple, and they will work with you through your issues in your life. They'll give you a process, they'll help you with resources, and they'll sit with you and they'll talk to you. Most of the people, if not all of the people who are marriage mentors, probably have been in deeper ditches than the one you need help out of. That's why they have a heart to help people. But you have to make a decision. We have marriage small groups. Whether your marriage is going up or going down or wherever, there are small groups that are all centered around marriage. And lastly, we have divorce recovery. Because you may have already gone through this and you may have made some inner vows. Y'all ever make an inner vow? You know what an inner vow is? I ain't never doing that again. My wife made an inner vow as a kid. You know what it was? Because they were not allowed to use paper towels in their house. They didn't have any money. And you couldn't use paper towels, and you had to cut them into like square inches. And now to this day, now she's not here today, so shh. We use more paper towels than any, I'm telling you, it's supernatural. Because she has an inner vow. Use me some paper towel. I'm ripping no paper towel in half. Inner vows. Well, that paper towel's not that big of a deal. But if it affects the way you see relationships, it's a very big deal. Here's the reality. You are shaped to be in a loving relationship with God. That's the shape of you. God designed you to have a relationship with Him. But most of us, again, the way we see God is not accurate. The lies about God have shaped our view of Him, and as a result, people don't want a relationship with Him. Listen to what the psalmist said about how deeply God is involved and impacted and actually obsessed with you. Psalm 139 says this, verse 13. For you created me, God, in my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, when I was growing there in secret, you knew that I was there. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now listen to these sentences. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. He's saying, God, you are so overwhelmed, not with humanity, but me. If I were to number your thoughts toward me, they would exceed the grains of sand on planet Earth. Now, I'm sure if you watch any cooking shows, they tell you a pinch of salt. If you just take a pinch of sand and throw that, that's 2,300 grains of sand. Now, actually, mathematicians have actually tried to figure out how many grains of sand are on the Earth. I don't know. That's more time than you should have on your hands, but people have figured this out. I would actually give you the number, but I don't understand math well enough to give you the equation. The only people that would understand this number is the United States Congress to borrow it. Did I say that out loud? Bad pastor. Don't say that. That's a bad pastor. Do you understand that your Heavenly Father is obsessed with you? He's absolutely obsessed with you. So much so that when he judged you guilty because of sin, judged me guilty, that he came and robed himself in human flesh so that the judgment that was due you and due me, he would pour out on himself. And the wrath of God that was due me was poured out on him. And when Jesus rose from the dead, and now he offers for you eternal life by receiving the free gift of the payment that he made. You see, your sin, my sin will be paid for. I will pay for it in eternity, or you will receive the payment made by a Savior. But you see, we don't think of God typically that way because religion often has shaped our view of God that is absolutely independent, absolutely the opposite of what the scripture tells us God is. You know, I'm a father, and I have to tell you, my mind is obsessed with my children. And I don't have grandchildren yet, but I promise you when I do, I am ruining those children. No, I'm serious. They come to my house. When the parents come back, they're going to go, don't make me leave. I hate them. So let me stay with you, Papa. I want to stay with you. I say, I'm better than them. I'll give you anything you want. You come here, babe. Here, come mom and daddy coming down the driveway. Come on, eat some more candy. Right before bed, baby. That's when you eat this. There you go. Have to eat that up, sweetheart. I'm obsessed with my kids. I can't go. My mind is constantly bombarded with thoughts of them. Not just always happy thoughts, but if I'm concerned, they never leave my presence, ever. They never leave my mind. Yesterday afternoon when I was coming, actually getting ready back here for the service, I missed a phone call from my daughter, Sienna, and she was FaceTiming me. Do you know what that means? I would have got to see her face. When I saw that on my phone, I literally out loud went, no! You would have thought like, you know, I broke a bone. But I called her back and she answered. I got to look at her face. I'm obsessed. You say you need to get over it. No, I won't. God has not gotten over you either. You were shaped by God to be in an intimate relationship with him. That's an incredible thing. Here's the second part of it. You are also, you're shaped by God to be in a relationship with each other. Now, but Satan has a plan, a relational plan, and a desire for man. He has two desires for your relationships between one another. Because God shaped you not just for a relationship with him, but to relate to one another. For intimate relationships. God made you for intimacy, not isolation. But life and issues and problems can drive you into isolation. And if you're not careful, you will live your life outside of God's plan relationally because of things that you've experienced, difficult things, things that I'm not minimizing. And that God doesn't minimize. But I want you to see there are two major relational desires that Satan has for man. Now, you might be here today and say, listen, I'm educated. I don't believe in a literal Satan. I mean, please, can we get into the 21st century? We are in the 21st century, and if you don't see intrinsic evil in the world, then you're blind. Jesus literally spoke of a literal devil. In fact, he literally interacted with an entity called Satan. So I'm too smart for that. Well, then you're just a bit too smart. Don't ever get educated beyond God. That's not education. That is money you spent to be indoctrinated to go stupid. Did I say that out loud again? I'm sorry. Don't pay. Listen, I can get stupid for free. Don't pay for it. Yeah, but they're very smart. No, evidently not. When your views contradict what Jesus said, you might want to reconsider. I'm just thinking out loud. That's what I'm supposed to do here. Here's the first thing. He wants to pervert man's relationship with God by doing this. He wants to pervert your ability to trust God. He wants to move you from trust to doubting the goodness of God. The very first thing the enemy brought to humanity was this sentence about God when he said to the woman, did God really say? See, God gave man instructions on how to live. The enemy didn't come and say God wasn't God. The enemy didn't come and say God isn't powerful and he isn't your creator. The enemy came and he made them doubt the goodness of God, the intention of God. People are doing it today. Well, if that's wrong, why is it wrong? God arbitrarily picks right and wrong. Does he do it because he's just some monster in heaven? So we make our own right and wrong. That's exactly what, it's no different. The attack on humanity hasn't changed from the very foundations of man. Did God really say that? And he made them doubt the veracity and truthfulness of God. More importantly, made them doubt the character of God and the heart and desire of God. And it deeply impacted man. See, people today struggle with who God is because that God's view has been distorted in man. The shape of God has been distorted. And so actually, not this coming, we have one more week that we're going to talk about the shape of you. Then we're going to do a 5-week series that will lead right up to the weekend before Easter. And we're talking, and it's a series called The Problem of God. We're going to talk very specifically for 5 weeks on issues that people struggle with God about. And the existence of God, people have a problem with that. We're going to show you how to navigate that personally and to help others. What about God and science? Because when I watch the talking heads on television babble, they seemingly always say that they're contradicting one another. But do you know they don't? Yeah, but they say they do. Who's they? I just struggle why someone would turn on a television and trust eternity to some person. You may not let them watch your dog. You might, but you might not. The problem of science, the problem of evil. If God's good, where did the evil come from? What about evil? And by the way, that weekend, Jimmy Evans will be speaking on that subject. He's going to stay the weekend after the EXO conference. So, man, you want to come. And it's a great, great series to bring people to be able to understand who God is. The last two are hypocrisy. With this Christianity thing, and people are hypocrites. How can this be real? And the last one is the exclusivity of Jesus. Jesus was very exclusive in the way to heaven. How can that be true? We're going to answer those issues. We're going to help you navigate those well. We want when you come here to be equipped to be able to walk things out in your everyday life with God. That's a great series to bring people. Say, Pastor, what's the best series to bring people to church? All of them. Because every service we intend, and we always do give people the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of their life. But here's the second part of that. I think it's pretty obvious that Satan would want to distort man's relationship with God, but do you understand that in doing so, he wants to distort your relationship, our relationship with one another? He wants to so pervert the image of God in man that we can't live healthy lives. When God made man, literally in Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Man is made in the image of God. And so you must understand the image of God to understand man. But what men have done is just the opposite. God made man in his image, and then we return the favor. We now make a God in our image. We will make and fashion a God according to what we think and not who he is. But when you understand what it means to be made in the image of God, and you understand that the enemy of your soul is seeking to pervert every part of the image of God in you. Why? I'll tell you why. Jesus told you why he comes. To steal from you, to kill, and to destroy your life. Everything in your life that you deem precious, the enemy of your soul wants to kill it, to steal it, and destroy it. He wants to distort the image of God in man on the same basis that he spoke to in the beginning, because he wants you to doubt the goodness of your God, and he wants you to make God in your image, and he wants you to live independently of who he made you to be. Now, Jesus actually spoke very specifically about those perversions, but I'm about to read something that if you read it through the lens of religion, you'll hear it very differently. I'm going to read you something that is going to show where Jesus literally said things that were so relevant to today about the image of God and how the enemy seeks to pervert it and the pain that comes out of it. But if you hear it through the lens of religion, you're going to hear guilt. See, the scripture says that God only commands us, listen, for our good only. Anybody a parent here? How many of you have ever said to your kids, honey, I'm doing this for your good? How many of your kids look at you and said, yeah? I know, when I was a kid, I'm doing this for your good. And I might be like grounded for 100 years or something. I was like, well, I'll tell you what, we'll both feel better. You ground yourself. God said, everything I do, every interaction I have with you is not for my good or some religious weirdness. It is for your everyday life and your good always. I want you to see that a group of people came to Jesus and they were trying to distort who God is and change who God is in a very real relational issue called marriage. This is so relevant to today. Mark chapter 10, verse 2, some Pharisees, and this is the religious crowd, they came and they tested Jesus by asking this question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Notice the question. They didn't want to know how to have a great marriage. They wanted to know, hey, how can I get God involved in ending it? And then Jesus said, well, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send his wife away or divorce her. Jesus said it was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law. See, they came to Jesus and said, is it lawful for us to divorce our wives? You have to understand what they were doing in that day is You see, it was, you couldn't divorce your spouse. It was against the law of God, so that it was easier to murder her. Imagine how twisted you must be. I don't want to offend you, God, by getting a divorce, but if I kill her, I'm free. How many of you know that's a little twisted? Moses said, no. Jesus said, Moses gave you this permission because of your hard hearts, not because of the will of God. Then Jesus said something that is the answer to every question anyone will ever ask you. Is this okay with God? Do you know how many times I've been asked the question, is this okay with God? And instead of Jesus going point by point by point and trying to listen to what he did, and it's brilliant because he's the Son of God. He's kind of brilliant. He said in verse 5 again, it was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. Verse 6, but at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason or cause, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, and they'll no longer be two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And Jesus said, let me explain to you how you can determine what is in the heart of God for you. Go back to the beginning. See what his original intent is and live toward that. And Jesus was very specific. The first thing he said was this, a man will leave his father and mother. Remember, he's saying this to two people who don't have parents. They were the first creation. A man will leave his father and mother. The first thing Jesus said that the image of God in man should produce is a two-parent home. So, man, I don't have one of those. And, I didn't come here to feel bad about my life. I'm struggling enough. I didn't need to come to church to take the shots. Do you understand the things I'm about to say to you are not simply people saying I'm going to do things right or wrong? And it's not a group of people that's against God. There are two kingdoms, darkness and light, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. One seeks to kill, to steal, to destroy, to trap humans for an eternity absent God. The other is to bring life and life abundant. Men and women are not my enemy or your enemy. In fact, the Bible says we do not battle against flesh and blood. Two-parent homes. Do you realize that the poverty rate is triple in single-parent homes? Why would God say it's ideal to have two parents? Well, that way we can split the work. No. Well, that does help too. But do you realize these are stats that have nothing to do with Christianity or Christians? The poverty rate is triple in a single-parent home than in the two-parent home. And do you realize in a single-parent home, the likelihood of sexual abuse is 12 times higher? So why would God say it's ideal to have two parents? Now, we know sexual abuse is the blight of a society. It is one of the most horrific things that can occur in a culture. And yet we know 1 in 7 people in this room watching me online right now have experienced sexual abuse. And I would suggest for many of you, it was in a single-parent environment. So why do two parents matter to God? Because he's just wanting people to just stay married forever? No, because it's for our good always. In America, 17% of Asian Americans are single-parent homes, 29% white Americans, 53% Hispanic Americans, 66% American Indians and Native Alaskans, and 73% of Black Americans are in single-parent homes. Go ahead and try to address this issue in our culture. The leaders of the very groups of people that are being devastated will fight you on this issue. Why? Well, they're just not very... No, it has nothing to do with whether they're good, bad, or wise, or unwise. It has to do that there is a distortion of the image of God in man. That man is so distorted in their view. You cannot make somebody this deceived without help. These are raw statistics. 12 times more likely. You want to eliminate sexual abuse? Then have people learn how to have a relationship with God and be made whole in their life. Most marriages don't end because two people said, we're getting a divorce. Most marriages end before they ever got married because they're so broken. They can't have a relationship. The shape of them has been so marred by the enemy. That's why over and over again, I hope you'll probably get tired of hearing it, but I don't care, because we exist for you to know God and then to find freedom. Because if you don't find freedom, the shape of you is going to go everywhere you go. And your yesterdays will dictate your tomorrows. And worse yet, they will demand that your children live in the same prison that someone gave you. Jesus is about freedom, not about rules. Secondly, he said, get married. Now, the Bible does speak about an exception where people are gifted to be single, but that's a rare gift. Do you know God is telling people in the script, I want you to get married. Yeah, but I mean, I saw marriage. No, thank you. Here's the reality. In the last 50 years in America, there's been a 900% increase in couples living together. In 1996, 2.9 million couples lived together. 2012 went up to 7.8 million. It's a total rejection of the image of God in man, not a rejection of marriage. You see, it's not that people are rejecting marriage. They have been so distorted in how they see God and how they see God's plan that they're rejecting the image of God in man. And that's the work of the enemy. The likelihood of couples who live together then get married, the divorce rate with them skyrockets. Why? Well, you know, look, we need to find out if we're compatible. So here's what that means. I want to find out how selfish I can be and you'd still stick with me. Because marriage isn't about you making me happy. Marriage is about me committing my whole life to make you happy. And you committing your whole life to make me happy and serve me and I serve you. You say, yeah, but who's going to do that? People that are made whole. And you can have heaven on earth. We need to find out if we're sexually compatible. I don't know if there's ever been a more stupid sentence on the planet. Outside of a medical condition, can I tell you what produces sexual compatibility? Two people that don't hate each other. Can you imagine a guy coming up to me and my daughter say, I want to live with Sienna and Alexa. You know, guys, how come? Well, I just want to see how they are in bed. I said, well, yeah, I'm going to show you what it's like to be in the hospital. And sing soprano, but that's another song for another day. Did I say that out loud again in church? You're bad, bad pastor. People are rejecting marriage because of their experiences. But God said, when you have a relationship with me, and you come to know me, and you come to find freedom, you will discover the purpose I put you on the earth, which, by the way, isn't just for you. And you'll make an impact with your life. You want to find the happiest marriages? Are people that serve the other person's interests more than their own. Not perfectly, but consistently. You'll find heaven on earth. Well, I'm not living that way. How's that working for you? Third thing is this. He said male and female should get married. Jesus said that. Jesus didn't have any views about marriage. You need to read this. Are you putting people down who are dealing with gender issues, who are dealing with same-sex attraction or homosexuality? Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. If anyone's dealing with those issues, those are real issues in their life. They are serious issues and they should not. No one should be made to feel like they're less than because of something that they're dealing with in their life. But what we've done as a culture is to say, God, we'll make this lawful before you. God's okay. Let's change God so we feel better about our destruction. Do you realize you cannot make this up? You have to have help, spiritual, evil help to be this deluded, to have parents having children today, and you ask them, did you have a boy or a girl? And they say, we don't know. We have to let our child tell us someday. The state of New York now lets you leave the birth certificate neutral. You could not make that up. Nobody would believe who was outside of a world of delusion. You would say, pardon me? We're going to have a gender reveal. Hey, what are you guys having? We don't know. They told us, you know, that they could tell the physical characteristics, but we don't know. Could they tell or not? Yeah, but we don't know. So why don't you know? Well, the baby didn't tell us yet. What are you? That child needs a parental transplant. You can't make that up. You can't make it up. But why is it? Because the image of God is male and female. People say, well, God's a woman. God's a man. No, no, no. God is, the image of God is male and female. You want to see the image of God? You have to look at both sexes. Yeah, but God identifies himself as a male. Read the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you can't have male and female characteristics today. We're all the same. Do you know how stupid you have to be to say men and women are the same? Come on. I mean, do you know how stupid that is? That is the deception of that is so over. Why am I saying it this directly? Because it is such a distortion of the shape of you. So what if I deal with these issues? Man, Pastor, you've named three and I'm three for three. I guess I'm worthless. Just the opposite. Life may have done everything to distort you and break you. Can I tell you something about the God that loves you? He doesn't run from you in the brokenness. He gets right into the ditch with you. Can I tell you something about people that love Jesus and that will love you? They will get into the ditch with you as well. And we will fight these battles together. And they aren't simple things in life. None of these are simple. But what we cannot do is to create a God in our image, to pretend to help people when the outcome of these things are not subjective. They are destroying human life. The people that God loves and the people that we love. And the last thing, he said, don't separate when I join you together. Stay together. He said, man, now I'm four for four. Sweet, merciful God in heaven. Why'd I come here today? This isn't about you feeling good or bad about your past. This is about showing you in real time that Jesus was dealing with things that 2,000 years ago was so specific to how we live today. And at a conservative rate, 45% of people that get married divorce. That's a conservative estimate. Conservatively. And if you've been through a divorce, and most of this room has, I don't have to tell you about the pain. If you've been a child of a divorce, your children have gone through a divorce in your life, your children, no one has to tell you about that pain. Do you think the Bible said God hates divorce. He didn't say he hates divorced people. Why does he hate divorce? Because of the pain. So that's why we as a church are desperate to help you to intentionally learn truth so that you don't unintentionally live a lie. You're just trying to make everybody perfect. No, 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 no. Jesus didn't come to make you perfect. He came to make you brand new by his power, not your own. He came to go into broken people's lives and make them whole. I wish I had time this morning. I don't. To take you through the Bible to the people Jesus went to who were the most sexually messed up people of their day. And everybody was running away from them, and we have the Son of God going to them in person. Jesus revealed himself more clearly as the Son of God to a woman who was married five times and living with a man who wasn't even a Jew. But he revealed himself more clearly to her. And by the way, when he did, church history tells us that woman's life so changed around. She helped lead multitudes of people to Christ after the resurrection of Jesus. It's not how God finds you. We're all broken. And you're right, we shouldn't elevate one form of brokenness above another, but we're not going to say, if God says this is broken, I want to make you whole. Well, let's pretend it's not broken. And then lastly, I'll say this. You know, Pastor John, come on, man, we've evolved as a culture. We're no longer trapped in the antiquated views of a book written thousands of years ago. I mean, come on. Bible thumpings, nonsense. We've evolved. To say we've evolved with what's happened in our culture would be the comparison of saying you have a Lamborghini, which is an Italian car. And you said, I've evolved. And what'd you get? A bicycle. That's not an evolution. That's devolving. Everything the enemy touches that you believe will be destroyed. So my hope for you today, as we come into the presence of God, is not for you to look at your life and say, boy, which one of these are me? No, just the opposite. Is to realize that Jesus said the reason these issues could not be addressed with that culture, he told them the reason. He said, because your hearts are hard. Because your relationship with the Father, even though they had a religious view of God, the Pharisees, he said, you don't know God. See, People are afraid to yield their hearts to a God that they don't believe loves them. They're afraid to open up and talk to people about the real issues of their life. People shouldn't feel condemned when they open up their hearts to people. But there's a process to walk in freedom. We should walk beside each other through the fires of life, no matter what those fires are. But we're just not going to pretend that the fire is a vacation because the culture has gone nuts, set ablaze of hell. My prayer today is that no matter where you are in life, that the shape of you, and next week we're going to get very specific, the shape of you was designed to have an intimate relationship with your Father. The shape of you was designed to be able to have healthy relationships horizontally. And your life really will the quality of your life will never get much greater than the quality of these relationships. But Jesus has a way for us to walk through the fire to get to the end of this. And then as we pray in a moment, I'm going to pray for you. You say, Pastor Don, some of this is too late for me. I'm too much water under the bridge. I'm pretty old. Can I tell you that this isn't just about you? This is about stopping the prisons that we inherited for our children, that they don't have to live in these prisons. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to be defined by how you feel. You don't have to be defined by what you've experienced. You don't have to be defined by the worst thing that's ever happened to you, the worst thing you've ever done, the worst thing you've ever experienced. That no longer has to define you as a child of God. You get to live a life defined by God, the image of God in you. And not that any of that is insignificant, but it doesn't have to be your master any longer. You get to walk out of the prison house as a child of God. You don't have to live in the prison anymore, but to live in the image of the one who loves you. Let me pray for you. Father, I worship you today. Lord, in this room are people that are so hurting that even what I said today, the lens through which they heard it may have even caused them even greater pain. Lord, open our hearts today. Humans can only do so much for one another. We can serve each other and walk with each other as we grow in the truth of the God that loves us. But Lord, your help, the presence of our God, to fall upon broken hearts. Lord, I pray that humility would sweep this room, that people who have been so hardened in their heart to hold views that are so contrary to your plan for their life. Lord, I pray that you break up the fallow, hardened ground of their heart today, that they would let you in to be able to restore things in their life that you long to provide for them, not just for they, but their children. I speak that over every person. Holy Spirit, have your way in this room. We worship you. As you're just seated right now, just close your eyes. And they're going to sing this through one time and just listen to these words. And then I'm going to ask you to stand and you sing it as a declaration of your heart before God today. Just listen and then let's stand together after they sing it through. Father, I pray today for every person here that we would humble ourselves in the presence of the Holy God. Help us to humble ourselves. Lord, help us not to do what the enemy of our soul did, to try to exalt his throne above your throne. Lord, help me today not to exalt the throne of my pain above who you are, the throne of my experience above who you are, the throne of my education above who you are. Help me to humble myself and realize that in just a blink, in a breath, a puff of steam, and I'm gone from the earth. And you died to give life, and life abundantly. Holy Spirit, I pray now that as we humble ourselves in the presence of our God, that you will open the eyes of our understanding, not to be convinced through arguments. You're not arguing with us. You're leading us to life. This isn't about being right or wrong. It's about being free and receiving the gift of a Savior. Oh, Lord, I pray for every person here, for the single parent, for the person who's been through the abusive situations, for the person who has so many regrets that they just think there's no tomorrow for me. This can't get better. Lord, help us to see that nothing, really nothing, is impossible with you. Lord, for some of us who are watching our children, even as adults, walk in paths we taught them, and our hearts are devastated. Help us to realize we are not the Savior. We cannot rescue those that we love. The same God who rescued us will rescue them. And I pray for families today, for marriages that are in trouble, to think that the way out is another person or to get away from the one they're with. Lord, absent abuse, I pray that people will fight through these issues and realize that their issue largely isn't each other. It's their own brokenness. It's the shape of them that's been distorted by an enemy. Lord, we will walk through this fire together as a church. We won't judge one another, whether they be relational issues or emotional issues, physical issues, sexuality issues. All these are all things that your image in man have been so brutally destroyed and distorted. I pray for hope in hearts today. I pray for hope in hearts today. I worship you, Father. I worship you. I worship you. Holy Spirit, move in this room that your presence would fall upon people that you love. Oh, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. This so strongly comes up in my heart, and I don't have time to explain these things, but there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. One is called the word of knowledge, and it's a fragment of the knowledge of God that's specific to someone's life that God reveals to an individual. It's just a fragment, a piece, a word. And the Holy Spirit spoke so clearly to my heart. This could apply to a lot of people, but for some of you, please listen. You see, this, I want you to understand, this is the God of the universe singling you out because his thoughts toward you are more abundant than you can count. The anger that you deal with. Now listen, please. This is what came up in my heart. The anger that is constant. It's always on a low boil. That never goes away. And you wonder, why do I act this way? And then eventually you justify it because you can't change it. You can't make enough promises to make that anger go away. You can't. You're not going to fix your relationships by you managing. Well, I'm going to go get classes on managing my anger. You know, forest fires are better when you put them out than manage them. Anger is a secondary emotion. It's there for a reason. Anger is like, it's like when your hand is in the fire and it burns. Ouch. That's not a bad thing. It's telling you something's wrong. Can I tell you what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart? The root of your anger is the lie you believe about God. You've held God responsible for things that he is not the enemy. I don't know how you came to that conclusion or why you did, but God is not your problem. He is your answer. He is not the one. But somebody told me, now listen, I'm telling you what I heard by the Spirit of God. These are not thoughts I'm having. This is specific for you. Well, people told me God did this for a reason to me. They lied to you. God did not do that to you. The enemy of your soul did that because he comes to steal and kill and destroy. God did not do that to you. He wants to liberate you from that, and not just you, but the people you love and your children. And I want to pray for every person, specifically those of you that that applies to, right where you're standing, and God's presence will so fill you. And if you'll let him touch you, God will do in a moment what five lifetimes cannot do. Let me pray over you and every person here under the sound of my voice. First specifically, then generally. Father, I pray for that person here today or persons that the anger has just been, it's been like a kinsman. It never leaves. Lord, I pray that the root of that anger, the lies they believe about you, that they will intentionally seek the truth so that they won't unintentionally continue to believe the lie about you. And I pray over these coming weeks and months of their life that the truth comes into their heart. And liberty comes that they've never known before. And And I say by faith that people that know them and love them will say, you're a different person. What happened to you? And had nothing to do with your strength. It had to do with you receiving the mercy. Father, I pray that over every person, I pray for every one of us today, that the shape of you, our God, is the shape of us. You've made us in your image. And Lord, we want that image to remain undistorted and not undisturbed. Help us to walk in the image of who you are. In Jesus' name, his head remains bowed, eyes closed. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to pray for you right where you're standing. If you've never invited Christ into your heart, I want to invite you to do that today. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person or a bad one, for that matter. You don't go to heaven because you're a member of a church or were baptized or had a sacrament of a church. There's no sacrament of any church that can make you right with God, including this church. Only a Savior. If you're here today and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died on a cross for your sin, was buried and rose from the dead, he now offers you the free gift of eternal life. You see, we all, our sin must be accounted for and paid for. I will pay for it myself after death, or I will receive the free payment of a Savior. If you desire to receive Christ into your heart today, to make him the Lord of your life, to have your sin debt canceled and become a brand new creation in him, with every head bowed, every eye closed, in a moment I'll pray for you right where you're standing. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you are. I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you. Say, Pastor, I want to be included in that prayer. Whether you say, well, I'm not sure I've done that, or I know I haven't. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please include me in that prayer. Would you just lift your hand real high so I can see it? Do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. You can see I'm not embarrassing anybody. Say, please include me in that prayer. Just lift it high where I can see it, and I'll include you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. And Jesus will come into your life. He'll make you brand new. Your sin debt will be canceled. And you will be heaven bound because of the Savior. Pray it where you hear it. We'll pray it together with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life. Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin debt is canceled, and I am heaven bound. Amen, amen. Hey, as you're seated, give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.